What's up, guys? Welcome to this podcast. My name is Salman Ali at Salman Ali NBA on Twitter. Here joined by Raheel Ramzanali of Radio and TV. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good, man. How are you?
I'm doing all right. So I promised you guys that I'd do two podcasts this week to make up for not uploading on time. I uploaded on Tuesday instead of Monday. So we're going to do two episodes this week. Episode two is right now. And we're going to be talking Jalen Green today because I feel like I haven't done like an extensive talk about how Jalen Green has performed this season. He's the Rockets' second overall pick. And like I feel like so much hinges on like the Rockets getting this pick right. They have to get this pick right, and like I feel like so much of what their season hinges on getting right. So I guess let's start here. What have you thought of Jalen Green's season so far?
Okay, so before I answer that, I want to go back to what you just said. Like, so much hinges on Jalen Green being a hit, right, for them to improve. Not only, you know, this season, of course, we know it's a throwaway season, right? Like, they weren't supposed to be that good anyways, but for the future, right? But I think the emergence of what KPJ has been doing, what Jayshon Tate has been doing, some of the other younger guys stepping up, it's not all on the shoulders of Jalen Green, right? And then we'll see what happens, of course, with the draft pick this year. So as much as it does hinge on him, I don't think it does. Like, it's not the end of the world if, let's say, he isn't the next Ja Morant, right? And if he's just a good player, I think it's okay. But you want him to be the next Ja Morant because of where he was drafted. I agree with that. But I don't think their success hinges on him being as great as some of these other guys, Anthony Edwards, even, I want to throw in there. So I just want to say that because they're in a different position than some of those other teams.
Well, here's why I disagree. So they only have a few first round picks left before they start forfeiting these picks to Oklahoma City, right? A few of their own first round picks. So like they have such a limited opportunity to hit on these first round picks. And this particular draft class has looked stacked. Like, especially that top five. Like, you're talking, obviously, Cade Cunningham, Evan Mobley, Scottie Barnes, Jalen Suggs, Franz Wagner's even looked really good. Like, it's looked really great. And if Houston, like, comes out of that draft without, like, an all-star caliber player, like, a player that eventually becomes an all-star, I think it's like, rightfully a failure. Like, it's like they had such a great opportunity to draft a player. And here's what I'll say. I think I'm not underwhelmed. I'm not ecstatic. I'm just whelmed. Like, I think I'm fine with what they've got this first season with Jalen Green. Like, I think he's been kind of exactly what I would have expected of him. You know, there are some qualms I have with this game, and we'll talk about that in a second. But like, it really depends on what lens you want to view, like, what kind of expectations you had of him going into the season. So
yeah.
Are you disappointed? Are you underwhelmed? Like, what's been your impression of him so far?
So far, I'm like you. Like, there have been moments where I'm like, wow, like, you know, he is going to be a great player in this league. And then there's moments where you go, hey, look, he's a 19-year-old, right? And he hasn't found a consistent shot. So going into the season, you and I previewed this, right? We talked about it, Jalen Green versus Mobley, and I was on Team Green, you were on Team Mobley. And for me, like, just watching Green play with the Ignite and seeing some of the tendencies that he had, I was like, okay, look, this season, I think this is what's going to happen. He's going to be an explosive athlete. He's going to have a tough time finding his shot. And I think he's going to have a hard time getting as many consistent touches that end up with something positive because he's just like, the speed of the game is just too fast for him right now. Right. So that's what I thought was going to happen. And so far there have been moments where I'm like, I'm right. And there have been moments where I was wrong. His shot, right? Like immediately out of the gate, that Boston game where he goes 8-for-10 from three, we're like, whoa, well, look at this. What, look, his shot looks nice. And then, you know, it's been kind of hit or miss. He had a 5-for-10 against the Lakers, I believe. And then it's been kind of like, it's not steady. Right. So that's something that you can improve on. Shooting wise, I think you can always improve, right? The other thing, like the game being too fast for him, there are moments, the Golden State game, for example, the most recent one, right, where he takes his time on some pick and roll action and he gets to the hoop and then he rushes the layup and misses just point blank layups. I think that's correctable. The one thing I do want to see more from him, and I think this will happen more as he gets more touches, and I think they want him to score right now. The Rockets do, but I think his assist could be higher. I think he could do a better job of getting more assists. When he does get nice assists, you're like, man, he can see the court pretty well. So that's something that you can implement a little bit more. So I think there's a lot of room for growth, obviously, but it's not the end of the world. Like, everyone's panicking, like, oh no, Jalen Green is done after 47 games. And, you know, he missed, what was it, 11 games, I believe. So it's like, let everyone relax. It's going to take some time.
Yeah, so here's what I'll say. I think you have a right to be both disappointed and kind of non-moved on Jalen Green. Mm-hmm. I think you can take both positions. I don't think you can take the position of like, oh my God, he's exceeding my expectations. He's not exceeding anyone's expectations, right? I think that's fair to say. I think so. It depends on what lens you view him on. Like, if you're comparing him to his peers right now, you're gonna be disappointed. Right, like if you're comparing him to Mobley, if you're comparing him to Cade, if you're comparing him to Wagner, if you're comparing him to Suggs, like those guys are playing better than him, and you're gonna be disappointed. But if you're comparing him to other elite shooting guard prospects, 32 games into their career, right? Like, which I did, like I went back and I looked up how those shooting guard prospects were compared to Green. He's about in line with those guys. Like, this is like a median like level outcome. When you're talking like Bradley Beal, Devin Booker, Zach LaVine, like those kinds of shooting guard prospects that I think, you know, he is more likely to turn into, this is how they perform. Like, and he actually has like a greater leash to make mistakes than some of those guys. A lot of those guys are coming off the bench, and he's starting and he's making a lot of his mistakes, which I think helps, right? Like, he has such a long leash from the coaching staff. He's playing 30 minutes a game. He has like a 24% usage. So he has that leash. And I think if you expected him to come into the season, you know, dropping bombs in the rookie of the year race, hyper efficient scorer, like I just think that's like the high end of outcomes. Like, right, that's him absolutely hitting on all cylinders. And this is just him being what you expected. So I'm not, like, I view him as the same level of prospect as I did on draft night. I guess I view the players around him as higher, is what I would say.
Yeah, I think that's fair, right? And we are currently in a stretch of games for him where it just seems like it's so bleak, right? But when you get out of this stretch of games, I'm starting this stretch starting against the Dallas Friday night game on the 7th, right, where he had 12 points. But before that, his last five games were 24, 16, 29, 12, and 22, which is a pretty good stretch of games, right? Now, they were all losses. I get it, but I'm not holding that against Jalen Green. But we're just in a really bad stretch, and it just seems like the world is falling apart. So I want to point out something positive that I really like from Jalen Green. Even during these tough stretches where he's not hitting threes, he's going 0 for 11 against the Warriors, he's still in the game making plays, right? Like, you go back to when it was tied 103-103 against Golden State, he gets a huge offensive rebound. Now, if he was mentally fried and just kind of out of the game, he probably doesn't go for it, right? Like, some of those younger guys don't make that extra effort. And he's still making that extra effort. So I do like seeing little things like that from Jalen Green that gets me excited that it's okay. Like, he's doing mentally, he's fine. He's not checking out of games. And I like seeing stuff like that.
Yeah, and like last night he went 0 for 11. And like when he was like 0 for 5, he kept on shooting, right? He didn't let that get to him. And I think that's important, man. Like, I think it's important that his confidence, I don't think it's fried at all. And I think the coaching staff is enabling him to continue to take those shots and make those mistakes. And, you know, I guess, like, here's a question. Like, you mentioned his confidence is still there. Like, that's one of the reasons you're most impressed with him. Like, has anything else in his game, like, stood out to you as, like, wow, this is better than what I expected?
Yeah, I think his just athleticism overall. Like, I knew he's athletic, and I know he's just an explosive player, but to see it against other really talented players in the NBA, where you're just like, wow, like he just stands out when he's doing certain things, right? I went to the Dallas game and just seeing up close in person and just seeing like the strides that he took, just kind of seeing some of the angles that he was taking. Now, I know he didn't have a huge game, but just seeing some of the things that he was doing, I was like, wow, like this is going to be great. This is something that is going to hold on for a while, right? And it wasn't just against G League players. So that was something that I've been impressed with. I've been impressed with his confidence, like you mentioned, for sure. I'm impressed with his patience on offense. And this is something we talked about before. Like, I like that he doesn't have to get every single shot. He, you know, when his play is called, he's ready to go and he's patient with it at times. I do like that. And, you know, that's something that you can still build upon and you're going to get better and better. But it was fun seeing, you know, it is fun seeing some of those traits right now from such a young player who's, again, this is his first season. He's 19. Like, it's going to be okay. Like, we all have to take a deep breath because it seems like the world is falling apart on Twitter. And I get it. Twitter's not the end all of all basketball conversation, but man, Rockets fans are panicking and it's like, just deep breath, deep breath.
Yeah. And for those Rockets fans, again, like, I would go back and I would do what I just told you, like, go comparing him to those other guys, right? Like, cause those guys, it takes a long time for these prospects, for these sort of prospects. Like, Devin Booker is a guy that probably exceeded expectations coming out of the game. Like, he was insane. Like, his first 30 games, he was like 60% true shooting. And like, it got to a point where the Suns had to go ahead and start him because he was just playing so unbelievable. Mm-hmm. But like, that was, you know, that was not the norm. The norm is like, these prospects are relatively inefficient. They're bad at defense. And like, that's kind of like what you should expect. And in regards to Green, like, I agree with a lot of what you just said. Like, a lot of what we thought about him during the draft is being confirmed. Like, he is hyper athletic, right? He has a great bounce. He has a great first step. Like, you know, that first step is killer, and it's a big reason he was selected where he was selected, because you can build off that in so many different ways. One thing I've been impressed by, but that I didn't really think too highly of him when I was watching him with the Ignite, his passing, and more particularly like his interior passing, like, he keeps his head up, right? Like, this is something, like, if you grew up playing basketball as like a guard, like, you were always told to keep your head up, right? Like, don't look down at the ball, don't have blinders on, keep your head up, look forward, see if there's passes to be made forward, right? And he does that. He keeps his head up. He finds big men all the time for like wraparound passes or like lobs. Like, he's not spraying the shooters yet. Like, that's a really difficult, like, advanced level of passing. Like, that's something Harden had like right away. Like, he doesn't have that yet. But like, if you're talking about like the basic reads, like, he's making those right away. And I didn't see him making a lot of those with the Ignite. That's something I didn't know he had.
Yeah. And that's what I say. That's why one of my knocks on him so far is I wish he would get more assists. Like, I wish he's looking for some of those next level passes, right? Like, being able to read those defenses on the fly and seeing that, okay, if, you know, player X's guy is off of him and he's near me, that means player X is open, right? So whipping that around to the perimeter. So stuff like that. Like, I want to see more assists from him because, again, I was impressed. I was impressed by his passing so far. And I'm like, wow, like, he really is seeing the court a lot better than I thought he would. So you're right. The other thing that I want to see more of from somebody this athletic, and maybe this is just being spoiled by guys like Russell Westbrook and other high rebounding guards, I want to see more rebounds from him. I want to see him more active on the boards, right? Like, I don't think a guy that good who's on the court for that many minutes should ever be leaving a game with just 2 rebounds, 3 rebounds, to, you know, 4 rebounds. Like, I want him consistently in that 5 to 7 range. And I think that would be something that you can do right now, right? Like, that's something he can immediately do. You're on the court, just make that extra effort on rebounding, because right now he's only averaging 3 rebounds a game. So it's just those are little things to look at, but I want to see more of that from him.
Yeah, that rebounding is such a great point. Like, he has to get to a point where he's averaging like 5 to 6 in his career. Yeah. Like, that has to be the norm. And like, you know, on his best nights, he's getting like 8 to 10. Like, that's what you're talking about in terms of like his level of athleticism. There's no reason he shouldn't be getting more rebounds. Now, to be fair, the Rockets have like a ton of bigs like crowding that paint. Like, yes. They have like, you know, a lot of players that are gobbling up those rebounds. So maybe as the Rockets kind of even out their roster, you know, he gets to that 5 to 6 range, but he does need to put the effort in and still get those boards. Like, that offensive rebound that you mentioned, like, that's something we need to see more of from him.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's, you know, those are little things that will make him stand out more and just make him more valuable when he's on the court. Because right now, the offense isn't going through him, right? And yes, they run plays for him. And yes, There are moments where it goes through him, but he's not the focal point yet. So while you're still out there, like, what else can you do to help, right? And I think his defensive effort, let's talk about his defense so far. There are moments where you go, man, like, this guy's going to be really good on defense. And then it, maybe it's just being on a team that's not really good defensively and maybe bad habits are picked up. There are moments you go, oof, this is not going to be good. This is not going to be good on defense.
Yeah, like, the defense, I never expected this to be a strong point for him, and he's been just about as bad as I'd predicted. Like, he's just not that aware. I think he can be quick laterally. Or, like, he hasn't looked quick laterally, but I think he can be. He just hasn't been. Like, it's kind of like Kevin Porter Jr. the first 2 years of his career. He just didn't put that effort in, and like, I think as time goes on, like, that's probably one of the biggest things he needs to work on. I think the coaching staff is probably drilling film into him, like, here's where you messed up, here's where you messed up. And, like, that's probably something that he, you know, as the years go along, he needs to make a big stride in. Another thing that I feel like he needs to make a big stride in is, like, his strength. Like, he is really, really weak. Like, yeah. And his frame is really small. And, like, when he goes to the rim, like, you mentioned the game being too fast for him and, like, him blowing layups. So he blows a lot of layups, and he gets, I don't know how else to say this, he gets the stuffed at the rim a lot. Like, and he does that because, like, he has, like, a very limited, like, layup package, and, like, he does all these contortions around the rim because he's scared to meet contact there.
Yeah,
like,
and that's going to improve, right? That's going to improve. You look at any NBA player under the age of 21 even, and you look at their bodies at that age, and you fast forward to the 24 to 30 range, you go, wow, like, what is this, right? Like, they look totally different. So that's going to improve. That just natural man strength that you gain as you get older, that's going to improve. But yeah, that is something that he's lacking. Like, in the Golden State game, I think it was the third quarter where he gets to the middle so easily. I mean, like, he's just in the paint so easily. He goes up, and I forgot who it was on Golden State. He literally just grabbed the ball out of his hands. It's just like, he just goes, no, this is my ball. And it was just so clean and easy for that play. I forgot who it was. But, you know, stuff like that, you go, okay, that you can improve on. Like, I'm always looking for things that, what can't he improve on? And I think everything so far, it's all improvable, right? Like, it's all something that you can work on and give him some years, because it's going to take time. It's rare for guys to be coming out of the gate and just lighting up the league. It's so rare. Like, all the greats, it takes time, right? So it's just one of those things where we want to see greatness right now, but you have to have patience.
Yeah, and, like, the contortions around the rim where he's, like, trying to, like, finish through contact. I just wish, like, he would just go straight up more. Like, I think that's something you can improve on right now. Like, you don't need strength and, like, a strength training and, like, a better body to do that. Just go straight up, lean into the contact, try to draw the extra foul instead of trying to avoid it and finish in, like, a very awkward motion, right? Like, you, like, lean away from the basket. Or, like, add a Euro step. Like, this is a player that I feel like could benefit greatly from adding a Euro step to his game. Like, avoid, like, when that second defender comes in, he just gets lost. Like, he panics. And, like, he does like, weird stuff. Like, he'll throw the ball away, or, like, he'll, again, contort his body. Like, instead of doing that, go for a Euro step or go straight into the body. Like, that kind of stuff is something I think is definitely improvable. And, like, you know, the strength and stuff is, like, something that also plagues him on defense, right? Like, bigger guys can take advantage of him, especially if he gets switched onto a big and, like, he has to defend a post up. He's gonna get eaten alive, right? He just can't handle that right now. And when you talk about, like, his ball handling, like, he needs to get better. He needs to tighten up that handle, right? But also, like, you'll see him sometimes, like, try to split a double team, right? Or, like, try to dribble through a defender because he has that lightning quick first step. And somebody will just grab the ball out of his hands because he's just not strong enough to retain it, right? And, like, he can't, like that kind of stuff is something, like just over time, I think will get better as he builds out his body. His body is, I think, probably, like, it's staggering how weak he is. He's like 180 pounds and he's 6'6". Like, that's pretty unexcusable. He needs to get to, like, 210 by the end of his career, because this is really, really plaguing him in a lot of areas in this game.
Well, yeah, and just adding some of that strength to his frame, right? You look at Ja Morant right now. I keep going back to Ja Morant just because it's the easiest comparison in terms of build out, right? Because both guys, John Morant 6'3", Jalen Green is, you know, 6'4", 6'5", roughly. And John Morant is 174 pounds right now. And John Morant is, look, he's lighting up the league. It took him 3 years to really just light it up, right? And he's having a great season right now. So that's why I keep going back to the comparisons. I don't think they're similar players in terms of what they do, but in terms of body, right? Like, he's 174 pounds. But you look at him from year three right now to year one in Ja, and you can see a little bit more muscle. You can see a little bit more definition, right? And that will naturally come. And I think that is something where he will get stronger. He will add a little bit more mass to his body as he grows as well. So that is something that can improve. But you're right, playing through contact, trying to get that stuff down now, just so you know what it feels like, what it looks like, what the takeoff point is, where the strength needs to improve. I think that's something that he can definitely do right now. So in the offseason, he can work on it.
So what's interesting is, like, I was talking about Jalen Green a couple of days ago on Twitter. And while I was tweeting, the Bulls actually tweeted out a picture of Zach LaVine in his rookie year with the Wolves and how he looks now. And his body is completely different. And, like, that's he really built out his frame like crazy. And, like, that's, I think I love that comparison. I love the Zach LaVine comparison for Jalen Green. I make it all the time. I think that's what I see him eventually becoming. And Zach built out his frame, got stronger, added functional strength, right? He didn't just add a ton of weight just to add a ton of weight. Like, it actually helped him in his game. And it was like athletic strength. And, like, yeah. I like, his body obviously benefited greatly. You look at that picture. It's clear. He's a completely different player and build than what he was then.
Yeah. Even last night, I was watching the Bulls and Bucks game because I was like, man, I want to see this matchup go down full strength almost. And they were showing, you know, Giannis in year one working out, and you're like, this dude is so skinny. And now you look at Giannis, and he's just. He's incredible, right? Like, physically. So guys will get better, and guys will add weight. They will add that functional strength, as you mentioned with LaVine. So, you know, that's something that takes time. Again, it just feels like this, the fan base and everyone just wants greatness right out the gate. It doesn't happen. It's hard. Like, you got to give players time. You have to give them room to improve without stressing out. And you also have to go in with expectations, right? What were the expectations for this team this year? They weren't going to make the playoffs. They were going to win some games. Hopefully it wasn't just going to be bad basketball every single night. Now, I think that winning streak, you know, earlier in the season kind of spoiled expectations. You're like, what? There's a chance they could sneak into the playoffs. Look how great they're playing. But come on. Like, it, I know that changed the expectations, but everyone relax. And by the way, Alex Caruso so we're talking on a Saturday. Last night, when he was fouled by Grayson Allen, this just came out. He is going to have to get surgery on his right wrist from that fall. So there you go. Grayson Allen just doing dirty stuff.
Yeah. So you know what's interesting? So like before the Jazz game, right? Like the Jazz game on Wednesday, I was talking to my dad about Jalen Green, right? And you know my dad, right? He's a former basketball coach. So, like, he told me something that, like, I watched for in the Jazz game. He told me, like, when things change in front of Green, he seems to panic, right? He seems to, like, mm-hmm. like his brain goes to, like, a bunch of different places, and he freezes a little bit. And I think that's something that can improve with experience. I saw it in the Jazz game. I watched for it after he told me that, and I saw it. Like, I saw it when, like, big men would come over to help in the lane. Like, he would just kind of panic. And, like, I think that's something that game experience will help with, right?
So
a lot of this is just, like, he's just, like, he hasn't seen NBA-level bigs before. Like, so if you look at how bigs are in the G League versus how bigs are in college, like, college bigs are much bigger and more intimidating. And that's something people told me as I used to watch Jalen Green stuff from the Ignite. But I didn't really, like, you know, I was like a G League / NBA supremacist in that, like, I thought that, like, this is the highest level of basketball. Get the hell out of here with that college stuff, right? Like, in reality, like, it's a different game in that the bigs at the G League level are, like, really smaller wings that play down a position. And in college, like, we didn't get a chance to see him go up against bigger bigs. So now that he's seeing these more intimidating bigs in the NBA, he doesn't know what to do with it yet. So, like, that's kind of something that over time I think will correct itself.
Yeah, and I think the experience of seeing different defenses, different traps, different ways teams are going to start playing him. That is also going to help a lot with his improvement, right? So certain ways, like the Jazz played him totally different than Golden State, right? Because it seemed like Golden State, they were just like, cool, come on into the lane. We're just waiting for you. Come on, let's see if you can do anything. So those traps are going to change as well. And when you get that into your knowledge, you go, okay, you know, this team tends to play this way, or this big guy tends to come out from a trap on the right side and is better laterally to the right side as opposed to the left, so I can beat him around the corner. Like those little things, it takes experience. And again, we're still, you know, he hasn't even played 50 full games yet, right? So it's just going to get better and better.
So here's the money question, right? So like, if you were in favor of selecting Grant number two, and as you said, like I was in favor of selecting Mobley. If you were the Rockets and you were given a time machine and you could go back to July 29th, would you still select Jalen Green at number two, or would you go for someone like Scottie Barnes or Mobley or Wagner?
Do I have the knowledge that Christian Wood is most likely not going to be the guy here for the future? Because then I can draft knowing that, okay, then I can probably trade Christian Wood. And maybe that's an exercise they should have done anyways, right? Before the draft. So it just depends on that, right? Because yes, I would do it because of the Christian Wood factor. But if you gave me an option with today's NBA, you go big guy or guard, I always take guard. Like until the trend changes where guards are not the dominant players on the court, ball heavy, and they're the ones making the big plays when it matters, and most offenses go through them, or winning offenses, I should say, because look, Joel Embiid's having a freaking monster year. Jokic is obviously doing what he's doing all the time now. But when it comes down to like winning teams, you go, okay, guards, right? So that's why I would still take him because of the guard factor. But from a GM perspective, I go, man, it'd be nice to have Mobley right now, because then you can trade Wood for something else.
Yeah. Here's what I say. Like, so I was in favor of selecting Mobley. I guess the question for me is, like, I had Green fourth on my board, right? I had Jalen Green. I had it Cade Cunningham, Evan Mobley, Jalen Suggs, and then Jalen Green. I guess the question is, like, would I select someone else ahead of Jalen Green? Like, do I move him down a position? Like, do I look at Franz Wagner? Do I look at Scottie Barnes? Do I look at anybody else that I might want to put ahead of Green and drop him down?
Yeah.
I think I would select Scottie Barnes ahead of Green.
I'd
probably drop Green down to fifth, and I still think he's worthy of a top five selection. I think I'd probably add Scottie Barnes in that tier that Green was selected in, and I'd probably move Mobley up to tier one, because he's looked like a tier one guy along with Cade.
Yeah, and Scottie Barnes is the same, where you go, man, like just the freak athleticism, the way he moves on the court, man, it's going to be nasty once he gets everything down, experience, figures it all out even more. Man, that's going to be scary. And by the way, I still feel that way about Jalen Green. Like, I think once you give him some time, let's like regroup and let's have this conversation, of course, at the end of the year, next year, year two, midseason, year two. And then year three is where I like expect him to be that guy. Because it just takes a little bit longer with guards. But once they get it down, man, like they're game changers. They're the ones that will win you basketball games when it matters the most and get you deep runs into the playoffs.
Yeah, like I still think he's gonna be an all-star. I haven't changed on that. I still think I look at him, I think Zach LaVine. Like, I think that's what he's gonna become. Nothing's really changed on that. What's really changed is my perception of these other guys. That's the only thing, right? And like, you can't really fault him for that, right? That's just other guys exceeding your expectations. And like, you look at, maybe you can fault the Rockets for not seeing that, like, in other guys. But like, I don't think, as far as Green himself, he's still a very good prospect.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, so like, I think we've talked enough about him. When I look at Jalen Green, I'm not underwhelmed or like ecstatic. I'm fine. Like, I think I'm nothing has changed from like how I view him. It's just everything about how I view other people around him. You know, I've learned some new things about his game. Like, he's a lot weaker than I may have expected. But he's also, to counteract that, he's also a better passer than I might have expected. Right. Like, so like. You know, like, I on the balance, about the same level of prospect. And when you look at like building out the Rockets as a long term, you know, if they, I'm assuming they're trying to become a championship contender again. This is a nice asset that they've picked up in the draft.
Absolutely. And I think he can still flourish into being, you know, either the guy or number two, right? And see where that goes, because he just has so many tools. He just has everything that you want in a young player. And you go, okay, if he puts it together, then we're in a good place. And that number two pick was valid and it was worth it. So that question we just can't answer until we get more tape on him and more time. And then we can make the determination that, okay, he was a bust, or he wasn't worth being the number two pick, or he wasn't the guy, or he is the guy. So it's just, you know, again, it just takes time.
Yeah, that's fair. That's very fair. Like, as far as like the time machine question I mentioned, it's probably a little unfair because, again, we're only halfway through the NBA season, and like, this takes about 2 or 3 years. Like, a lot of people were foregoing Trae Young as a bust halfway through the season, and then he went off in the second half of his rookie year, and then we had to quickly reevaluate that, right?
That's a good point.
Yeah, like I think this kind of stuff is like it's really premature to go back and be like, and make definitive claims. I don't think we did that. I don't think we made anything definitive. I think we just tweaked our evaluation of him.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Listen, I really enjoyed having you on. Can you plug where we can find you on Twitter and other your work more generally?
Absolutely. You can find me on Instagram at Raheel Doing Things. You can find me on Twitter at @the_Raheel. You can find all my work on there. You'll see me, you know, sharing links. I do stuff with Golden Nugget Sports. I'm starting back up the season with the Houston Sabercats, which is the professional rugby team here. I do their stadium host and TV hosting on AT&T Sportsnet Southwest. So you can find my work all over. And thank you again for having me on.
For sure. I'll talk to you down the line.